Hello, everyone. My name is Kayla.
And I'm Steph. And welcome to the Witch Story Podcast.
How are ya? For our regular listeners, I know there has been a bit of an unforeseen break between our last episode. I've spent all of August pretty much moving into a new house, out of the old place while working, and then the last week, Steph and I went on our annual camping trip together, so it was nice to see her and some of our very old friends, and just having a bit of a much-needed break, but, you know, now we're back in full swing. Steph, how are you? I'm just gonna celebrate recording again by cracking open
my beer.
That was literally like the perfect can opening sound. Like that should be a sound effect for a movie.
It's the perfect can too. It's Rorschach Brewery.
Ooh.
They like have this horchata dessert lager. So yummy. It tastes like a cinnamon dessert, but it's a lager, so it's really light. And we all know I need a beer right now, so
it's yeah,
perfect.
I'm guessing work was really grueling today.
Yeah, with the heat, it's been like, I mean, obviously, you know, but today it was 32 and the feels like was, I think, 42 with the humidity.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and with the heat warning in effect, you're not supposed to do any physical labor outside, but you know, I know you've been working in this heat as well, so I won't complain too much. How's the life of Steph?
I've also been pretty busy, but definitely not as busy as Kayla. Did finally get a microphone, and yay. I'm super happy. I just need to somehow soundproof this room, because right now I have a blanket over top of myself and the microphone to block out any other sound, and I just remembered my blinds are open. So people can see me, and they probably saw me put the blanket over myself and the microphone.
I'm picturing you so clearly. Yeah, unfortunately, we still can't record together, but now it's not because of COVID. It's because we just have crazy schedules.
Yeah, we're just, yeah. Did you do the traditional, like, you move into the house and then you order, like, takeout and then you eat on top of the box?
Mm-hmm.
You did that? Yes.
Very picturesque. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We did the same thing. Yeah. When we first moved here. It's tradition. You have to do it.
Gotta do it. Yeah. Well, I suppose we should start our fun episode today, if you want to take it away, Steph.
Today, we will be switching gears from our regular witch trial conversations to some mythical history of one of the most revered goddesses or titans in paganism and witchcraft. Hecate. Most people refer to her as the goddess of magic or the triple goddess.
And before we start, maybe we should kind of talk about her name a little bit as well, because we've anglicized it into H-E-K-A-T-E, or you can spell it, I've seen H-E-C-A-T-E, but the pronunciation is very different, and it stems from the Greek word H-E-K-A-T-O-S, Hekatos, which means goddess from afar. But I've also seen it written as Hecat, H-E-C-A-T, around the time of Shakespeare. So how do you pronounce it? Hecate, Hecate?
I think me and Kayla prefer to use the H-E-K-A-T-E just because it's closer. And it just feels better, I guess.
Yeah, it's closer to the consonant that they would have had, because it's not the same Latin alphabet as we have today.
Yeah, exactly. Hecate is how I say it.
But okay, I say Hecate, but I think there's a song that I really like, and like in the song, it's like Hecate, and I think that is actually how it would be pronounced if it was, because it's Greek.
Yeah,
and I think the spelling doesn't really matter, because obviously they have, we don't have the same alphabet or like the Latin letters. I think the K is closer to the original.
It is, because the C is apparently Roman. So
perfect.
Yeah. I've even heard Hecate pronounced like Hectate, which is weird because there's no extra T in there, and I'm just like, why? Why?
I don't think that's right.
That's literally in, you know, the movie Practical Magic.
Oh, no way. Do they say it like that?
They say it like that. And it's when they're resurrecting that asshole. And they say, mighty Hectate, make it right. I'm like, what?
Oh, maybe they did that because the film, the actresses didn't actually want to summon anything real.
Is that a thing?
I think so. I think sometimes people in movies don't use like correct Latin spells or anything just in case.
Really superstitious.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just my theory, but like, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, I feel like you could be like very right there, just because remember when we were doing that episode and there was like a demonic like letter or summoning note or something like that. And then you didn't want to read it. And then all like all that stuff started to go wrong in your house and you were scared. Yeah.
Or they could just have been clueless, like Sam Winchester when he was talking about Sam Hain.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I should mention that the Roman version of Hecate is Trivia. So if you hear about the goddess Trivia, that's pretty much the same person, just copied and Romanized.
So I'll get into a little short description of Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hecate is one of the oldest of the old gods. She was born from the Titans Perseus and Asteria. In Hesiod's Theogony, Zeus favored Hecate above all others and worshipped her, giving her offerings such as part of the earth, sea, and heavens. Although most Titans were locked away by the Olympians, Hecate is one of the only Titans that is free because she sided with the Olympians over the Titans in the war that would establish the Olympians as the ruler of the earth instead of the Titans. Because the Titans basically were like the creators of the universe and the earth, but the Olympians fought back. Zeus worshipped and feared her above all others because she sided with them and held immense power over the earth, seas, and heavens. You can almost relate that to her being able to have power over all of the elements. And I think that's like a really cool comparison. So one of the famous stories about Hecate is that Hecate witnessed the abduction of Persephone, who is the daughter of Demeter. So Persephone was abducted by Hades and was taken to the underworld. Hecate offered assistance by using her torches to search for her. As she passed between worlds, pillars and torches were often shown to represent her symbolically and were placed at crossroads and doorways because she was able to pass between the underworld and our real world so easily. And it's either to keep away evil spirits or bring overall protection.
I think what you touched upon with the torches being used symbolically, there's a lot of symbolism when we look at ancient Greek mythology, and that's how we know a lot of stories. Or let's say there was a story of Hecate portrayed on a vase or on a mural, you might only know that it is her because of certain symbols, which I will get into with more of the stories. But there is one thing I just want to clear up first, and maybe I'll go a little bit more into the abduction of Persephone to kind of get my point, what I'm about to say. Basically, with the abduction or rape of Persephone, Hades wanted Zeus's daughter to marry him and made flowers to lure her. Basically, she was in a field of flowers and she was picking them, and one of them was a trap. And Hecate and Helios, the sun god, were the only witnesses. And Hecate, after 10 days, told Persephone, or Cor's mother, Demeter, what happened. And Demeter was so mad about this and left Olympus and became a nurse. And Hecate kind of helped her out to get her daughter and basically went into the underworld. And this is what I wanted to clear up, that the underworld wasn't kind of heaven or hell as we see it today. It wasn't like, oh, Hecate's going down there and she's going to be with devils in the underworld. It's more of a place of rebirth and transformation where your soul was to be purified. It wasn't seen as punishment the way we would see it today. And Persephone ate 3 pomegranate seeds during her time there, and Hecate was made to be her companion. But because she ate the pomegranate seeds, basically what happens is that, and this happens a lot in different cultures, versions of the underworld, where if you eat the fruit or the food of that place, it kind of makes a connection. So Persephone had to stay there. And since Hecate became her companion, she had to spend a lot of time with Persephone. And Persephone ended up having to spend, I think, 1/3 of the year in Hades. And this is why we have the seasons, because during that time, Demeter on Earth grieves, and Hecate thus became the deity of the underworld. So when I say deity of the underworld, and as we're going to talk about that a little bit more in this episode, I just want you to know she's not like the devil, you know? There's a little bit of a difference from how the ancient Greeks saw it to how we see it today.
Yeah.
But other stories that Hecate appears in, one is a popular one that includes Queen Hecuba. So after the fall of Troy, Hecuba became a captive of Ulysses and was put on a ship back to Greece. But on this trip, she murdered a Thracian king and was stoned and then turned into a black dog by the gods as punishment. This black dog became Hecate's familiar. And after Hecate was associated with the black dog as a symbol and also the dog star Sirius. And if you know the area, this is also why the place Sinais gets its name, because it literally translates to of the dog. And it's where Hecuba was changed into a dog. Another is, I know Steph said that she was in the War of Titans and allied with Zeus, but she was also in the War with Giants, where Hecate battled Clytius with her twin torches. And that's a scene that's very commonly portrayed. Once again, her with her twin torches. Another story was in On Animals by Aelian, where a Pharmacus or sorceress named Gale, who, and I'm quoting this, possessed incontinent nature and abnormal sexual desires, end quote, basically misused her powers, her sorcery or witchy powers, for her own selfish gain, and often went back on her word when helping others. And we can assume that Gale was a devotee of Hecate, because she was a goddess of witches and pharmaki, and Hecate was probably upset with her at the misuse of the powers and abilities, so Hecate punished her by turning her into a polecat, which is a kind of weasel. This is an animal of deceit, often lives in little nooks and crannies, and I didn't Google what exactly it meant by this, but apparently they have a really odd way of mating, and like I said earlier, Gale had an abnormal sexual desire, so this was humorously fitting as well. And besides in these stories and myths, or in the archaeological record, as I mentioned, the vases and painting that she's in, where we see her wearing a knee-length skirt and hunting boots, or the other symbols like the crossroads and stuff, and most of these illustrations are usually from the 6th to 4th century BCE that we see her in. We can also see her being worshipped at Caria, which is in modern day Sicily. There's an entire temple that was devoted to her that would have had a mystery cult that took place there in worship to her. And this was probably around the 5th to 6th century BCE, but she was worshipped in many other places, as Steph will explain.
It's still debated where she was first worshipped, but most archaeologists and scholars agree that her worship originated in Minoan society, which is ancient Crete, 3000 before Common Era to 1100 before Common Era, or the Mycenaean, which is ancient Greece, and that's 1,650 years before Common Era to 1,200 years before Common Era. She was also worshipped in Sicily, southern Italy, Egypt, Libya, Turkey, Bulgaria. Bulgaria back then was also known as Thrace in Syria.
I do think I read that some scholars believe that the worship and stories of her originated in Thrace, so she was more of a Thracian deity, but then was generally, as the stories and tales passed on, she was more seen as a Greek origin goddess. But I know you said Mycenaean and Minoan, and I guess her origin story is a little unclear as well, I believe.
Hecate was closely connected to Zeus, but she never married and remained independent throughout her existence, although some say that she never had children, and some say that she is the mother or teacher of Aegialeus, Circe, Empusa, Medea, and Scylla, all of which are known as Pharmakia, and that means witches or sorcery.
Pharmakia was also seen perhaps as healing, so she may have just been a healer as well.
Or they also have some associations to monstrous magic, since Scylla was a monster. She was worshipped in Athens as one of the protectors of the household as well. Although the use of magic was not condemned in ancient Greece, there were still a few trials for witchcraft, but only when someone was killed. And most of these trials also came to nothing, just because accusations were made by men who were just angry.
Yep.
Or jealous or something of the like. So Hecate has always been a favorite of mine, not only because she's a goddess of magic, but also because she represents balance or different stages of life from different sides, hence the reasoning for her being called the triple goddess. She's a mother, maiden, and crone. Crone meaning like old lady, and that's like the witchier part of her. And she held power over almost every aspect of life, and she even conveys all sides. She shows that we need to understand our own darkness to be able to have light. And I think that that's really important, especially for people to get past certain traumas, things like that. Shadow work is another word for it, to just kind of like understand how you work all together, understand the negative parts of you and why they're there, and then to get past them. So I also like Hecate a lot because she also kind of reminds me of Baba Yaga and her symbolism and representation. Like, she's not a trickster, but it just shows that balance and dark side and what she protects and what she's responsible for. So she can help protect you or help understand the darker side of the world. Hecate can also equate to the fairy queen of the Unsullied, which means the malevolent court. This is Scottish folklore. So there's the Seelie, who's just the non-malevolent court, and the Unsullied, which is the malevolent court, which means they like to cause a little bit of damage and ruckus. So the fairy queen was named Nycnaven, who dwelt in the mountain of Ben Nevis. She was the mother of witches. Her name may derive from the Gaelic word Nycnaven or Nycnaen, meaning daughter of the divine or daughter of Scatha. The Unsullied court had a darker distinction. Witches were only seen as bad when describing the Unsullied court of the Fae folk. I digress. I really love Scottish folklore.
It's very odd that I'm seeing Hecate equate to a lot of goddesses and deities now, and also just appear in pop culture, like you said earlier, in practical magic. I've also seen something with her being worshipped in Sabrina, the new teenage witch show, and also Marvel has Hecate in it as well.
If you were to worship a single goddess, because like I know that there are many Wiccans or witches, let's just say, who do like worship more than one deity. Mm-hmm. But if you were to worship one, I think this one would be a really good one, because she represents like the mother, the maiden, and the crone, like basically three different representations of something, like of different beings almost. So I think that's really cool.
She's pretty OG as well.
Oh yeah, the OG. Yeah, she.
There's
she
my beer kicking in.
There it is. Whoop. There it is.
Whoop.
So I think now the last thing we just want to touch upon is, as you mentioned, a lot of people have begun to incorporate Hecate into their practice. So we're just going to talk a little bit about how you can do that if you choose to, how you can do it safely, and some tips for beginners. So you can include
fire or torches in your rituals. As we said, she is often seen with the torches, like as she goes into the underworld and stuff. So definitely fire. You, the plant, not you, Steph, but
okay.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
YEW is sacred to Hecate, but you have to be careful when using this plant because it is toxic. I wrote that you can burn a black candle, but you also said here that you can use orange, yellow, and red as well. And I guess because that's the colors of fire, though?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can burn those candles, or you could do, I think as well, probably a black and white one just for balance, possibly. Mm-hmm. I would do that.
Yeah. I always light black and white candles together, like most of the time, just because I feel like if I light just a black one by itself, it still gives me some like negative connotation. Like, you know how people believe that if you light dark candles, they will attract spirits?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of believe that in some way. So mm-hmm. like if I have it lit for too long, like I feel a little squeamish. Don't attack me.
I also have, with working with fire, you can write a message on anything, like a piece of paper or possibly a bay leaf if you want. Just make sure it's not on the toxic material. And then you burn it in the fire with the intent of Hecate receiving and delivering your message for you.
You can also place night blooming plants at your altar. You can represent her with the symbolic animals like snacks. Snacks. You could put snacks for her. She'll love that.
Yeah, for sure.
what I meant to say was snakes, dogs, horses, bats, owls, black sheep, and cats. So like, I don't know, let's say if you manage to just somehow have or purchase an owl feather or something like that, and you place it at your altar. Of course, that was ethically taken or found on the ground or something like that. Or if you have like a figurine of either a snake or a dog or something like that, you could place it there. And or you can even draw one, paint one, whatever you want to do, just something that represents her in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a list of symbols that I just found on the Google. It's the Greek cross, the pre-Christian cross, I'm gonna add. So mm-hmm. Greek cross, we said the crossroads, an amulet, baskets, because baskets were carried by moon goddesses like Hecate. Mm-hmm. A gate, because like we said, she's the guardian of both crossroads. You also mentioned fairies, later called angels. That's a thing. Hounds. Mm. It says here that hounds were domesticated by women, so that's cool.
I feel like that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be true.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah, of course. And then cats apparently domesticated themselves.
That so seems like a cat thing to do.
It is a very cat thing to do. We will forever serve cats.
Also frogs, because frogs were sacred to the Egyptian midwife of the gods and Henna. So this is going a little further away. But then wolfsbane, willow, like a willow wand, she meant like. And offerings include eggs, garlic, lavender, honey, crescent-shaped bread, candles, incense, and images or actions on behalf of black dogs.
Yeah. And I guess really good days to worship her or to devote a ritual to her would be like on full moons and new moons, especially new mm-hmm. moons to me, because it kind of like a rebirth, but also embracing the darkness. I feel like that has a lot to do with her. So that would be a great day to do that.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole, if you Google it, there's a whole Hecatian Wheel of the Year that you can easily access. And it has all of the dates that would be best for your practice as well. But yeah, that is all the research
and information that we have. Obviously, there is more stuff online, articles and fun spells and ways that you can incorporate Hecate into your practice or your craft. And it's really funny because a lot of stuff is on Pinterest now. And at first I was just like, oh boy, you know, why is Pinterest getting into this? But then I kind of gave it a different thought and, you know, realized that, hey, you know, maybe this is great for people to start beginning to choose their own religion and start opening up to new ways of worshiping or celebration or whatever they would like to do that's not mainstream. So yeah, I think it's actually kind of fun in a way and very pictury. There's a lot of pictures. But anyways, I won't keep you for any longer. That is all we have today. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
And we will be back in 2 weeks with another episode on Hypatia or Hypatia. She is another Greek woman and she was real this time. So that's going to be super exciting to learn her history. And if you've enjoyed our podcast today, please don't forget to rate and subscribe. It would help us a lot. If you'd like to message us, feel free to email at witchstorypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at witchstorypod. We'll hope you tune back in for our next episode. Bye, everyone. Thank you.